Welcome to my little cabin in the woods on Spooky Island, where each week I tell you scary stories from around the world. From stories of possession and ghosts to UFOs and Wendigos. Sit back, relax, and tune in as it's time for Spooky Island Radio.
Over and out.
Welcome back to another episode of Spooky Island Radio, everybody. I apologise, I still have got like a little bit of a cold. I thought it was going away, gave it to my partner, then I was fine. And then he had it, and he still got it, and now I've got it again. So hopefully you can still... I feel like Phoebe from the episode of Friends where she gets like the cold and she gets like that sexy singing voice. I feel like that's where I'm at right now, so... Yeah, so I haven't been too well this last week, but yeah, I've got some great stories lined up for you today. So I will be telling the story and someone's account of a very famous ghost from Mexico called La Llorona. You've probably heard of it because there's like a film, it's like in the Conjuring universe, if that's what they call it these days. Not actually seen it myself. I think it got some pretty shit reviews, so I never bothered, but... it's a fascinating story, and yeah, a little bit of folklore, urban legend from Mexico, so that's my main story today. And then I've got a personal account from my friends over at, from the word ghost, I forgot the name then. So if you've not heard of their podcast, go listen to them, it's called From the Word Ghost. And yeah, it's just... it's a bit different to mine, but it's like, it's just really funny. Two mates basically speaking to each other. One is a skeptic, another is a believer, and the believer is basically trying to convince his friend about ghosts and spooky stuff. So yeah, go give them a listen. But I've got a personal account from those guys for my listener story. Finally got another one. And then obviously my film club this week, I watched and will be reviewing The Menu, which is the Disney, it's on Disney Plus. Very good film, but you'll hear my main thoughts on it later in the episode. So yeah, with all that said, let's get straight into the episode. A little short and sweet intro this week. So let's go. And oh yes, don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all that shit, and give me a review if I get a nice review. If I get a review, I'll read it out on the show. And yeah, so remember to go listen, leave a review, and share it with all your friends. Okay, so now, my friends, we're getting into the story. Let's go. So yeah, like I said in the intro, this week's story comes from Mexico. It's a place that I've been to in another story back when I was first starting out with Spooky Island Radio. And yeah, I think that was a story about Island of the Dolls, which you probably heard of. But if not, then I'll like plug in my own show. Go listen to that episode. It's a really, really scary one. And yeah, I've got a couple of listeners in Mexico as well, and yeah, I had a listener story from Mexico, so yeah, they're always really good. What I like about Mexico is it's like just steeped in folklore and like tradition and history, basically like the Aztecs and all their traditions that carried into the modern day, all that sort of stuff, you know, ritual sacrifice and all that stuff. Yeah, love it. So I was very happy when I came across this story to cover in today's episode. So let's get straight into it. In Latin America and in Spanish-speaking communities in the US, and especially in Mexico, no ghost story is told as often, discussed as enthusiastically, or interpreted as widely as the legend of La Llorona. La Llorona literally means the weeping woman. So it's not surprising that the main characteristic shared by all stories of La Llorona is that she weeps. La Llorona is a sort of urban myth and has been passed down through generations and generations. She's often closely associated with children. In some stories, she is said to wail for her own dead children. And in many of these stories, well, let's go back to the beginning. In many of these stories, the story goes that she killed her own children when she was alive and is doomed for her actions to be a wandering ghost. In other stories, she appears mainly to women who have children, while in still others, she kidnaps children who are never to be seen again. The main urban myth goes that Maria, or La Llorona, was married to a man with two young boys, and unfortunately her husband was unfaithful, and in a jealous rage she drowned her two sons in a lake to get back at him and punish him. But regretting what she had done, she tried to enter the water to find her son's bodies, but she was unsuccessful. It was then said that she stayed around the lake and rivers where she murdered her sons, constantly walking and patrolling looking for their bodies, wailing as she went. She died from exhaustion and malnutrition, and it is after her death that the legend gets more and more strange. Locals began seeing a woman around the lakes and rivers where she had died, wailing and looking for her sons. The story goes that Maria arrived at Heaven's Gates and was not allowed entry until she found her sons. But in a cruel twist of fate, she would never find her sons as they already resided in heaven for eternity, which is why people believe that she is still looking, haunting lakes and rivers of Mexico looking for her sons, and maybe taking other children and drowning them in order to take their souls to heaven, where she ultimately hopes to reach. It has been hypothesized that she targets abusive parents and adulterous spouses too, in order to punish them. The legend of La Llorona has been tracked back to around 500 years ago, so it's not uncommon to hear different versions of the same story, but she's one of the most notable supposed spirits from a country that just oozes mythological history and legend. My main story today tells a tale of a family coming back together for the Day of the Dead and who gets talking about loved ones who are no longer with them, and which sparks some unpleasant memories for a young man and his mother. So relax, turn down the lights, as it's time for the story of La Llorona and the Haunted Ofrenda. It was late October and Dia de los Muertos was upon us. My name is Gabriel and I'm reaching my 20th birthday, which is late November, and the Day of the Dead takes place on the 1st and the 2nd. It has been a very difficult year for me and my family, and sadly my younger brother passed away this year, and it was going to be the first time that we placed his image upon the ofrenda. For those that do not know, an ofrenda is a tribute of sorts, where we place photographs and candles up of our loved ones that wish to visit us. Usually these ofrendas are just photographs of older family members that have passed. But this year, there was another photo, and it was my teenage brother. He was not stable mentally for a good few years now, and my mother and I tried to help him as much as we could, but we couldn't. Obviously. His issues all stemmed from a day a few years back when me and him were by a local lake with some friends. It was a summer day and the sun was high in the sky and it was just so hot. It must have been one of the hottest summers on record. We were having a great day and must have been there for hours. However, when the lights started to fade, our numbers dwindled until it was just us left. Our friends all wanted to make it home before dark for a very specific reason, La Llorona, or the Wailing Woman if you translate the name. This folklore, from what I understand, is told throughout Mexico and tells the tale of a vengeful spirit who likes to lure children and even sometimes adults to water where she drowns them, hoping to take their souls to wander this plain with them. My mother told us this story when we were young, and just like our friends, we were just getting ready to go home, and I just snipped behind a tree to take a leak. When I came back to our spot, Daniel was gone. I couldn't see him as it was starting to get dark, but I heard ripples in the water behind me. I turned around and he was stood in the water, looking into the lake and walking deeper and deeper. I ran towards him and grabbed his arm, shouted at him and asked what in the hell did he think he was doing. He turned around to face me and his eyes were blank, like he was in a trance. I shook him and shook him, and eventually the blues of his eyes returned and he jumped and fell backwards in the water, pointing behind me. I got a cold chill and the water at my feet even seemed to be freezing over. I turned around and nothing. There was nothing there, but my brother was still terrified. It was getting darker and darker, and with La Llorona now in the forefront of my mind, I grabbed my brother and basically had to throw him over my shoulder just to get home. I didn't turn around, but as I ran with my brother in my arms, I could have sworn I heard a lone woman screaming in the lake. Like I say, Daniel was never really the same after that day. He would often confide in me about the wailing woman that came to his window at night time, screaming and pointing at him, waiting to take him. I tried to comfort him as well as I could, but his hallucinations and night terrors only seemed to get worse over the next few years. He was even asked by my mother if he was ever going to get settled down and have a family, and I said he would not, for the fear that La Llorona would come for his children. And then, one night, about 8 months ago, I got a phone call. I live far away from home now, and it must have been about 1 a.m. when my phone started buzzing. It was Daniel, and he was beside himself, crying, saying that he could not continue running anymore, that he wanted me to know that he loved me, and after 8 years of trying to stop La Llorona through various methods, he could not hold her back any longer. Crying and with a feeling of hopelessness, I said that I loved him too. And then the phone line went dead. I rushed over to my mother's house where he lived, and he was not there. We searched for him but could not find him. And a couple of days later, I got a phone call from the local police. He was found drowned in a lake that we used to go to as kids, the first place that he said he saw her. And this brings us back to the present day, and the first Dia de los Muertos without Daniel. Despite him not being there, we believed him, as well as other members of the family, would visit us. It was a real celebration, we put out their favourite foods and played their favourite music. The day started to come to an end, and me and my mother were sitting on the couch with old photographs of Daniel and the family. Looking back through all old photos, I realised something. Photos taken before our day at the lake, where he first saw La Llorona, were fine, but photos taken after that date were either damaged in some way, or had some sort of defect on them. It was so strange, and then a cold shiver ran down my spine, and a cold chill came over me. There was a woman in some of the images, mostly in the background, but in a couple she was reaching out to him, and it was at this point the lights went out, leaving my mother and me in darkness, apart from the candles still lit around the house and the ofrenda. La Madre decided to go to bed, and I set myself up in the candlelight, morbidly surrounded by the images of all my dead relatives, but it was oddly comforting. That was until I looked up and could have sworn I could see a woman's face at the window. Again, a chill went down my spine, and I looked back down at my phone. The room started getting darker, and candles that were lit in the far part of the room were being extinguished by something. And then I saw what my brother must have seen all those years ago. Out of the darkness, a woman in a long dirty white dress emerged, slowly and with her gaze firmly set on me, and singing a low tune. And then she screamed and began to move towards me at a fast pace. As she went past a candle that was extinguished, and another, and another, and I fell backwards into the ofrenda and closed my eyes expecting to feel a cold grasp on my arm, when suddenly, the wailing stopped. I looked up and she was stood right in front of me, a trail of extinguished candles behind her, but the ones right next to me were still lit. I looked up and her pale, dead face was looking back at me. With one last scream, she reached for me. She couldn't get to me. She swiped for me, but couldn't make her way past the last row of candles. And then I felt a warm hand on my shoulder, and the woman looked above me as if someone was stood over my shoulder. And with one last wail, she disappeared in front of me into thin air. The lights came back on, and I turned around expecting to see my brother, but to my disappointment, he wasn't there. But I knew it must have been him that was protecting me. The next morning, I was getting my car all packed ready to travel home. My mother wanted one last picture of me in front of the ofrenda, and I thought nothing more of it. But by the time I got home, my mother had sent the photo she took, and at first I thought nothing of the image, but after I altered the brightness and contrast, what I saw left me spooked, but mostly overjoyed. Behind me in the image was my brother, with a hand on my shoulder. I knew it was him last night that protected me against La Llorona. And to this day, in times of fear, I always feel him, looking after me in life like I wasn't able to for him when he was alive. And there are people that go missing still, who drown in Mexico, so I know La Llorona is still out there, but at least I know my brother's protecting me, so she won't be coming for me anymore. So, I don't know what you thought of that one, guys. I mean, I know it wasn't the scariest story ever, but, you know, stories don't always have to be terrifying to spook us or, you know, help us believe in the afterlife or ghosts, that sort of thing, the supernatural. So, I was just researching folklore and urban myths and stuff from America and Mexico. And, yeah, of course, I thought, like, how have I never done any research into stories about La Llorona, because she's just so well known. Like I say, she's even got a film after her. But yeah, I thought it was a really cool story. I liked actually that it wasn't terrifying. I liked the idea that his brother was helping him, even after he passed away, you know. And yeah, I just quite enjoyed it, because I'd like to think that's what people do, you know, come back and check up on us every now and then, help us out if we need help, you know. I don't just think that the supernatural world is just these horrible demons that just want to kill us and take our bodies. So, you know, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed learning more about Mexican folklore and urban legends, so I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Let me know on my Instagram, send me a message. I do get messages after each episode from some people. Let me know what they thought. So if you've got any thoughts, then yeah, send them to me on my Instagram. Or even better, if you really liked it, leave me a review. That would be even better. But yeah, with all that said, let's get on to the next section, which is the listener stories section of Spooky on the Radio. So let's go. Like I said, this week's listener story comes from Jamie over at From the Word Ghost. So yeah, it's Jamie and AJ. They both host From the Word Ghost. And all that rhymed. I'm a lyrical genius. Literal lyrical genius. But yeah, so go listen to their podcast. They've got about 15, 16 episodes so far. And yeah, it's really good. Love the episodes. So yeah, like I say, this story comes from Jamie, so let's jump straight into it. So it says, "Hey dude, so I've had a few experiences, but the one that I think would be best for the podcast is the one about seeing my mum. I'll preface this by saying I'm a massive skeptic. I have had a few experiences, but for me it tends to be in that moment I get freaked out, and then 10 minutes later I find myself rationalising it. Some people might say this is a coping mechanism to deal with the paranormal. I think it's just having a rational mindset, although I'm very respectful of people who believe and truly trust their experiences." And just before I get into the rest of the story, I'm kind of the same. I mean, I feel like from listening to this podcast, I'm a bit more of a believer than he is. But I remember years ago when I was part of a ghost hunting team, you know, I was going in expecting to just see all this activity, you know, and I found myself as being the skeptical one, Because I feel like in that sort of environment, people are so quick to just jump to, oh, it's a ghost, when really you need to think a bit more about what it could be. So I'm all for this mindset of being skeptical, but when something happens and it can't be explained any other way, then it has to be paranormal. Anyway, enough about my shit. Let's jump straight back into a story. Around 9 years ago, I received the news that would change my life. My mum had cancer, and it was terminal. To say we were close is an understatement. As an only child, and her a single parent, we relied on each other. She was my rock, the person I turned to when I was having an anxious moment, and the person who believed in my dreams and loved me unconditionally. Around 8 years ago, she passed away. And I think I always believed in some sort of higher power before that, although I could never vocalise what that would look like. I thought there was something more to life than this, and it's like when she died, so did my hope. In the following years after her death, I had the usual, you know, dreams, feelings of a presence, etc. But nothing really vivid that made me question things. I just always chalked it up to my mind grieving, as if it was looking for a missing piece of a puzzle that had been lost in the process, never to be recovered. There is one moment, however, years later, that did, and still does to an extent, make me question my newfound belief system. I play bass in a band, and we are now playing our first sold-out headline show. Shout out to This City Is Ours, that's the band. Yeah, they did a great Christmas cover, that's all I'm going to say, but yeah. I also relate because I was a bassist in a band years ago. I mean, not to the fact that I was selling out headline shows around Europe, but yeah, I can relate to him in the fact that we're both bassists too. But yeah, go check out them on Spotify. Skipping back in time is like a corny drama you'd see on Netflix. Throughout my childhood, my mum supported all my musical endeavours. I have joy-filled, vivid memories being a teenager, playing her songs I'd written before I'd showed anyone else in the world, and less fond memories of playing her a song I wrote for her about her suffering with cancer while she laid in a hospital bed. She drove me to band practices and gigs before I could drive. She played my songs in her car with the volume turned all the way up. She was the epitome of a supportive parent. Anyway, back to the gigs. This was about 3 years after she had passed away. The show was going well, better than anything we'd done before, and I was so happy. All my issues melt away whilst I'm on the stage, and all I was left with was the euphoric feeling. It's hard to explain what that's like. But halfway through our set, I looked out into the crowd, and there she was. She sported her favourite striped hoodie with pink drawstrings, and she still had her bald head from the chemo. It was somewhere between a split second and what feels like a lifetime of us locking eyes. I still struggle to explain that feeling to this day, if I'm honest. Obviously it knocked me back, and I'm fairly sure I stopped playing the song for a good few moments before continuing on like nothing had happened. In the years to come, I've rationalised it as my mind grieving. Grief hallucinations are a powerful thing, experienced by many, but there's always this thought in the back of my mind. Even as a fairly unwavering skeptic, what if it was her? So yeah, thank you for sending in that story. I've got to admit, because you told that story on your first episode of from the word ghost, and yeah, I remember being on my way home from college, sat in traffic, just listening to the podcast. I was like, oh, what's this new podcast? I'll give it a listen. And yeah, I was just really just sort of blown away by it. Like, having played gigs and stuff like that before, it is euphoric. I mean, I was like the other way around. I got a bit too nervous. That's kind of why I stopped. But yeah, that's for another time. But I kind of get the feel, you know, the same feeling. And I can imagine how sort of time stops sometimes on stage. And yeah, well, you know, it's like it had been a few years as well since she'd passed. So it's like, were you really thinking about it in that moment? It wasn't like it just happened. So I don't know. Maybe she was there, just, you know, chilling, watching her son play the bass. in a band and, yeah, being so proud, like I imagine she was. And I thought I had my phone on airplane mode, but obviously not, so that just dinged. But yeah, love the story, and like I say, guys, I imagine I'll be doing a collaboration with the guys from the Word Ghost at some point over the next few months. But in the meantime, go give them a listen, because it's a great fucking podcast. So yeah, fucking do it. And with all that said, it's time for...
The Spooky Island Radio Film Club!
So, yeah, like I said, this week's film club, I'll be talking about a film called The Menu, which is on Disney Plus now. So if you have the subscription, I would very highly recommend going and watching it. And yeah, I mean, my thoughts going in was that it was going to be some sort of Hunger Games horror sort of thing. So the main premise is this chef or these people paid to go on this island and taste the menu of this world famous chef who very much reminds me of Gordon Ramsay, but you know, we're just going to go there with it. But yes, they all go to this island, pay a load of money to be there. And of course, they start to get, they're trapped on the island, they can't escape, and each part of the menu is something different. I can't really explain it, you just have to kind of watch it. But yeah, it turned out to be, it's not really a horror at all, to be honest. It's more, imagine like Midsommar crossed with like Knives Out, that sort of thing. It's a bit of like, it's not whodunit, but there's a mystery there, and you're trying to figure out, one, how you're going to escape, how the main character's going to escape. But it has that sort of cult vibe that goes with Midsommar. Yeah, so it's a proper good film. I mean, it's about just under 2 hours long. And yeah, I didn't notice the time go at all. So yeah, so the main chef is played by Ralph Fiennes, aka Voldemort. And he just is so good at playing the villain in films. I don't know why. He's just really menacing, I suppose. But yeah, he's basically says his catchphrase, which is, it's all part of the menu. Which is really sadistic when you're watching it. It's really creepy, and he like claps his hands, gets everyone's attention. Everyone's like, yes, chef! It's like watching an episode of Hell's Kitchen, but people actually die. So if that's not a glowing recommendation, I don't know what is. But like, it also has sort of horror-ish cliches. So like, the main girl that you're following, she's like a final girl, you know, like Laurie Strode or from Halloween, you know. And she's got that sort of vibe going for her. Like, you know, kind of that you think she's probably gonna live. But you don't really know until the end. So there's sort of horror tropes and stereotypes there, but it's just more of a thriller. But I would very highly recommend it. I loved it, and after I finished watching it, I went straight onto YouTube, was like, endings explained for the menu, conspiracies, Easter eggs, all that sort of shit. Because yeah, it really makes you think about the ending, about the themes. So yeah, great film, not horror, but go watch it. It's a great film, and it's on Disney Plus at the moment, so it's called The Menu. And remember, my Instagram followers now choose what my next film in the movie club will be. So if you don't follow me on Instagram yet, one, what are you fucking thinking? Go and do it. Got a great community there, you know, love chatting to everybody on there, and you get to do things like this, like vote for what film I'm going to be watching next week's film club. So a drum roll please for the reveal of next week's film club movie. Okay, and the film I'll be watching for next film club is called Lake Mungo. So from what I can just see from the plot analysis on Google, Alice drowns while swimming and her family begins experiencing inexplicable events in their home. The family hires a parapsychologist whose investigation unveils Alice's secret double life and leads them all to Lake Mungo. And from what I can see, it all talks about the atmosphere, not so much jump scares is what is best about the film, which is great because, I mean, jump scares are good, but, you know, they've got time and place. Like, if I want to go watch, you know, like The Conjuring or something like that, then I expect jump scares, but, you know, I quite like it when it's based more on the atmosphere. So, yeah, looking forward to that. So if you want to see what I think of Lake Mungo, then, or you want to compare it with your own thoughts, then watch that before the next Spooky Ellen Radio episode, which will be out in 2 weeks. And yeah, so Lake Mungo, guys, go watch it. And with all that said now, I think that is where we'll leave it for today. Thank you again all for listening. I really appreciate it. I can really sort of see on my stats that on my podcast host that a lot more people are starting to listen. I'm starting to gain a bit of traction. So, you know, I appreciate every single listener that even just listens to one episode. If you listen to one episode and think, it's not really for me, then that's fine. That's fine. There's plenty of different podcasts out there. But yeah, I appreciate every single listen and download. So thank you very much for continuing to support me. And hopefully by next episode, I will not have this sniffly cold. So yeah, and listen out for Spooky Ellen Radio Campfire Tales, which will be coming out next week. And with all that said, thank you for listening once again. And pray for me. I have an exam in a couple of days. And I need to pass it. So pray for me, everyone. Be like, send your thoughts to Andy at Spooky Ellen Radio. Thank you for listening. And that's me done for another week.
Over and out.